podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Team Sheet Tantrum. There's 100 people waiting. Jesus Christ, everybody's looking forward to this game. Hello, everybody. Hello to the 100 people that are there, that are already tuned in for this Team Sheet Tantrum. And welcome to the For the Love of Pomegranate podcast with myself and Paddy. And I've just scared away 29 people. and welcome to the Team Sheet Tantrum for Aston Villa versus Norwich. As my phone is buzzing in my pocket to give me an alarm so that I wouldn't be late. But as you all know, we were 2 minutes late. Paddy, I'm looking forward to this one today. I'm a bit giddy wearing the new training top. I see. Oh, you've got a new training top on as well. Look at the two of us availing of the 30% discount that was going on last week.
There you go.
I was all excited
when I got this new top today, and I was looking forward to Stephen coming home and showing him my new top, and he goes, "Why is that a different colour to everything else?" And I went, "Now you're just after ruining it on me."
Yeah, after ruining it on me. And by the way, I think I did say Norwich. I'm after seeing it in the comments. Of course, it's not Norwich versus Aston Villa. It's Aston Villa versus Nottingham Forest. And I said Norwich, I'd say, about three times in the preview show as well. I don't know what I have in the back of my mind with regards to that. But hopefully we'll
know
have
what's
the
in
same
the back of your mind. It's 4 years today since we had appointed Dean Smith as our manager.
There we go. That must be it. There's that. And now, in fairness, there's a lot of different spider webs going from that to Norwich, as I have to conduct insecticide again here because there's something flying around my head. But hopefully we do have the same result as we did against Norwich last year. Again, myself and Paddy were at towards the end of the season where Aston Villa got a win out of it, because Aston Villa badly need a win today. Steven Gerrard needs a win. The club, no, we'll separate the two. The club need a win, and the club is more important than anything else. We want to be in ninth position after this game today. A 1-0 win gets us to ninth position. Regardless of anything else, this club needs to climb away from the bottom of the table. We need to leapfrog teams like Leeds, like Crystal Palace, that are now ahead of us, because they have games in hand. We need to leapfrog those. I know we're only 8-9 games into the league so far, and we don't want to be thinking that way, but Leeds are in complete disarray. I'm not going to say they're in disarray. Their fans want Marsh out right now. It's mad. Like they've turned on Jesse Marsh as quicker than it's taken us to turn on Steven Gerrard. And that's saying something. Like, I've got a couple of friends who are Leeds fans. I keep in touch with Leeds podcast. I go on a lot of them whenever I possibly can. There's a great guy, Oscar Marino, whose podcast, All Leeds TV, I go on quite a bit as well. And a Just Joe football show from another Leeds podcast that I go on. So I kind of listen to their podcast every so often to see. And they are, like, it's, wow, it's, The way that's kind of unfurled is quite huge. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Nottingham Forest versus Aston Villa. A trip to the City Ground, a trip that myself and Paddy said we would have loved to have gone on at the start of the year, but it transpired against us being on a Monday night just wasn't going to happen. We would need to take 2 days off work to do that. So we're sat here for your enjoyment instead. What do you think, Paddy? Are we going to see many lineup changes tonight? Obviously, we're going to have one enforced with Bailey being injured. It's going to be that's where most people's eyes are going to go to. But do you think we're going to have another, bolters within the team sheet today?
Well, as I said on Friday, seems like a long way ago now that we did the preview. I want two up top. I want us to get at them. I want us to score goals. You said you'd be happy with a 1-0 win. I actually would too, but I think that's just more a reflection on how we've been doing. I might still be a little bit sour if we only barely win this, but we'll worry about that in whatever it is 2 hours time, and we'll have a think about it.
Sorry, I'm going off here.
Very unprofessional.
Totally unprofessional, Paddy. Totally unprofessional. I'm only joking. That as long as that's a text message that's telling you about early team news that you have to keep under your hat. Blink twice if Ings is starting. Blink once if Watkins is starting, Benny. That's what you got to do. But I think that's where most people are going to be drawn to. We did have, you know, a bit of an airing of our thoughts after the last game. Nil all draw, obviously, against Leeds, but a lack of firepower. A lot has been made of the fact we've only scored 6 goals so far. Do you know what? Another kind of damning statistic. Well, it can be twisted either way, Paddy. It can be seen as a good thing or a bad thing. The last 8 goals that Aston Villa have scored have been from 8 different players. Now, that would be fine if that was over a 3-game period. But it's not. It's over a 9-10 game period. And that's concerning, really, because that means that, number one, we're only scoring an average of 1 goal per game. Or at the moment, we're not even scoring that at the minute. And they're not coming from a consistent source. So does that really mean that we're really, like, that our game plan is funneling the ball towards people? It could be seen as a positive. For me, I'm beginning to see it as a small bit of a, I don't know, players making things happen in the scoring stakes, as opposed to preordained kind of moves and stuff like that that we would have within the team. So I couldn't care less if it was a goal from a corner, from a header tonight, as long as we win the game. But it's just something to keep in the back of mind when we talk about the system failing a striker, a specific striker. I think that's a pretty damning statistic to say 8 goals from 8 different players over the last 10 games that we've played, Paddy. What's your views on it?
Well, if we go back 2 years, I remember distinctly saying it on the podcast. I had no problem with our strikers not scoring because the goals were coming from everywhere else. So they were holding the ball up, they were involving people in the play, and we were scoring goals. We've played 8 games, we've only scored 6 goals. That's not good enough for me. So something needs to give. If he goes with the same system, we could see Watkins pushed out wide. That's an option, but I'd rather see us causing mayhem up there and looking for through balls off the likes of Buendia and Coutinho. But whether both of them are in there, I don't know. We haven't long to wait anyway. It'll be here. We'll know in a minute. But
less than a minute. And I think that's a nice kind of, like, put it this way, what we were both speaking about after the Leeds game, I got caught up in the heated moment of the whole situation was, I thought that Watkins probably still deserved a place in the team. You thought Ings came in and then playing 2 up top or even pushing Watkins wide. While we were talking about that, my biggest point was, this system isn't going to favour anyone. It's not going to favour any striker that we have up top, unless we've got a Lewandowski or someone like that who can just put the ball in the back of the net under his own volition. Like, but we just don't have a striker like that. We really don't. And I think that's what's going to be really interesting. If we have turned the corner in a defensive point of view and we can still stay robust in defence, which I don't want to count my chickens too much with that one. We've seen these false dawns before with short bursts under Steven Gerrard, where we've had 2 or 3 positive results and then it's gone to 4 or 5 negative results in a row. So I'm not ready to count my chickens yet with regards to that.
Completely would not surprise me if we went out and lost tonight and then beat Chelsea on Sunday. That's just the way things have gone for us.
I'd prefer to go out tonight and win tonight and then go out and beat Chelsea on Sunday, Paddy. I think I don't think I'd be sitting here with too happy a face in me. I'm going to sit here in the post-match. I'm going to try and be as level-headed as I possibly can. I'm going to talk about it because I've been doing a lot of thinking about, I suppose, what way I feel about a lot of things club-wise at the moment and things like that. So hopefully I don't have to bring out that little soliloquy that I've been preparing, but hopefully we'll be talking about positive things. And the teams are in. I think this calls for block your ears if you're of a squeamish disposition. It's a team alert. And I couldn't get up the screen in quick enough time. So we do have a starting 11. Starting 11 is in. There we go. Matty Cash, the Polish cap, who is back in there. Emi Martinez, Cash, Konza, Mings, Young, McGinn, Douglas Luiz, Ramsey, Buendia, Watkins, Coutinho. And I think that's the team that we probably called on the team sheet. Well, that's the team I called on the preview show. Ings does make the bench. Jeez, I didn't think he was on the bench. I was gonna mute my microphone and walk off screen if he wasn't there and just leave this to you because I had no dog in that fight.
it makes no odds to me. The main point here is that he's not playing, and we're still going to be looking at those true balls from our two. Will they be wide or will they be narrow? I'm not sure. There are two players I prefer to see in a bit of a narrower position. So it's time for them to shine because I'm not expecting much of Ollie Watkins.
Well, the bench is Robin Olsen, Morgan Sanson, has risen and appeared again. Danny Ings is there. Callum Chambers is back after his, I think, was it appendicitis? Did he have to have his appendix removed or something like that?
Did
I think it happened. I think he had an appendectomy. That's why he was missing for the last game or two. I could have dreamt that as well, by the way. So somebody please tell me in the comments whether I've dreamt that or not. Marvelous Nakamba is back on the bench as well, which is a nice sight. Bednarek, Dendonker, Archer, and one of the people I think could be one of the real, real talents to come from our academy in such a long in a long time, Lamar Bogart, is on the bench as well. So really nice to see him back here. Second game in a row, he's been back on the bench. Stephen Gerrard said lots of good things about him. Whether you want to believe anything or that, the club, should I say, once again, has spoken very highly about him for coming up in three seasons now, performed, and he is now getting his chance on the bench. It was always going to be Matty Cash coming back for this one, Paddy. If he could lace up his boots and was 95% fit, Matty Cash was always going to play against Nottingham Forest, wasn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a big night for him. I hope they haven't rushed him back for it. I hope he's fit and ready to go, and we're not going to see any relapses or anything. So, yeah, it's good to have him back. He just offers that something different. So, yeah. Look, the only argument I have here is who's playing up top. I've nothing else to say on the team. The team is absolutely fine. It's probably the best that we could put out, apart from that one change that I'd make.
Paddy, what's my pet hate about other teams when they name their team sheet? What's my pet hate?
They put them in numerical order.
They put them in fucking numerical order. It's such a pet hate of mine. Why are they so stupid? And why did it? It's, do you know what? It's just a case of, now I know where the majority of these people are going to be playing anyway, but I just hate it. It just looks so stupid. Like, you give it to a young fella or whatever who has no idea who the hell the players are because it's an outsourced media company, and you put it in an Excel file, one to whatever, and that's the way it goes. Oh, anyway, sorry everybody for airing my dirty laundry on screen, but it just really annoys me, and I don't know why. If anybody would like to give me the help I need to get over that aggression and anger, you can find me in my DMs. But here we go. Starting 11 is Dean Henderson in goals. We're going to see, McKenna and Cook, two centre halves again. I like that. Tafolo is going to play right left back. We're probably going to see Aurier is going to be right back. Midfield is going to be some combination of Fuller, who I love. I really like Raymond Fuller. I thought he would have been a good choice for Aston Villa to come in that defensive midfielder position. He was really good at Atlanta. Some serious statistics of consistency from a defensive midfielder point of view. He's in there along with Kouate. You're going to see the likes of Yates, and where am I going to? Yates, Gibbs White, and Johnson, Brennan Johnson behind Dennis. Then up top, I think that's what it is. Have I left anyone out? No, I don't think that's what it is. Yeah, so you're going to have Yates, Brennan Johnson, who is dangerous, and Gibbs White, all behind Emmanuel Dennis up top as well. Their substitutes are Wayne Hennessy, Willie Bolly, Joe Worrell, Nico Williams. I can't remember what O'Brien's first name is. Mangala, the guy they signed from Stuttgart, another guy who I like as well, a bit of a brute in midfield. Jesse Lingard, Iwani, and then Sam Sturridge as well is on the bench for them. So they're rolling the dice tonight. They're playing a lot more players that they've brought in, and their two fullbacks are very, very capable of getting forward. Tofolo is a good left back. You know, he was good with Huddersfield previously, and Serge Aurier is while he's a loose cannon, how he was a free agent for so long this off season was beyond me. Obviously played with Villarreal last season, so. Look, that's a formidable enough team, but I still think that Aston Villa can get at the centre of that defence, and I think Villa should still score goals against this team.
Yeah, I think so too. I got to admire the ballsiness of them for making the changes. He's obviously, the main talking point is he's dropped Jesse Lingard, which is what a good manager does when your striker is not striking. And he's taken out Nico Williams, who didn't have a particularly good game the other night. And that's what you do when people are off form. You take them out of the team. Unless you're Aston Villa, that is. But anyway, decent enough side. They just haven't gelled together yet. In true Villa form, this will probably be the night that they get it all together. But hopefully that won't be the case, and hopefully we can go and get to 3 points. And that is the most important thing tonight, to just lift us above everybody else, and then we can start trying to play football as opposed to trying not to lose games.
Yeah, I think so too. Let's go to some of the comments there, and let's take the team off. Let's go back here to some of the comments. I don't know where it was when the team started, but oh yeah, here we go. So
I did that. QLE scoring the perfect hat trick.
Yeah. And we'd still get Paddy on afterwards telling us that Ings is better than him. I'm only joking.
Perfectly entitled to give out a vote of whoever wants.
Perfectly entitled to be as wrong as well as any rest of us. I know.
You say a pat in the arse is 6 inches away from it, or a pat in the back is six inches away from a kick in the arse.
Exactly. Elicit says, Bundio, Coutinho and Ali start. You can quote me on that. Well, you got it absolutely bang on, Elicit. So I don't know whether you had inside knowledge or not on that one, but fair play to you. Where are we on this one? So let me just... Chris Taylor says, is Ndonker the new Sansan? And I know a couple of you guys have mentioned there about Ndonker in a couple of more comments. I saw them as I was scrolling up. I think that this is very much a man... Like, I don't think he's the new Sansan. I think it's way too early to be saying that. What? It's four games and he's gotten time off the bench. I think that that's what his role is going to be in the interim at the moment. At the moment, midfield... it's not exactly perfect, but it's not the hugest problem for us at the moment. We found a way to kind of almost bypass our idiosyncrasies in midfield. I would like him in there in some aspect, but I think when the club need to start scoring goals, because that's where our biggest issues I feel at the moment are. I think Ndonker is probably best coming off the bench at the moment for Aston Villa. That's not to say that he isn't easing him into the team as well. Look, I think there's more credit in the bank for the likes of Douglas Luiz, Ramsey and McGinn there as well. And once again, we can have the discussions about playing your favourites and the fact that McGinn has played himself out of the team at times before. But I think McGinn played pretty well against Leeds. And I think it was one of his better performances for Aston Villa over the last couple of games as well. So it will be an interesting one. We will be keeping an eye on Ndonker as well and seeing what the situation is. But I would be blown away if he doesn't get minutes tonight. And I'm thinking maybe he comes on around the 70th minute or so and eases his way. And it seems that he was dealing with some niggles and stuff like that when he came to the club. So look, as I suppose I'm not pressing the panic button on that one yet. For 13 million, I think the club would have been stupid to turn him down anyway, to have that kind of quality in the bench. And let's we forget that, you know, that's where we need to be. You know, Spurs signing the likes of Bissouma, keeping him on the bench. He'd only played something like 20% of all their minutes over the course of the season so far before he started against Brighton at the weekend. You know, so like we need to have these types of players on the bench to come in as well. So, but we will be keeping an eye on the Ndonker. And it is an interesting one. I just said I talk a small bit more about that one because I've seen a couple of comments on it previously as well there. Where are we? So Hitting Poker says, need Emi and Coutinho to shine today. I think that's very much something that's coming out of this team sheet as well. I think they really need to shine. They are creative. They better be creative. If they're going to spend time back in our half for most of the game, well, then we might as well throw our hat at it. And then we should be playing the likes of Ndonker. We should be playing the likes of Marvellous Nakamba in there instead of these two guys and just play 5-4-1 and leave Watkins run around up top on his own like a headless chicken. Because he'll have no service if that's the situation. He needs service. We need to get him service. And we need to get the ball into the box. We need to attack quickly. And we need to attack through the centre as well for this to work. So we need Emi and Coutinho to shine today for sure. Talk to me, Paddy, about there was one there. What about this one? Going on that, we need our two number 10s to shine, but they need a proper moving target man to hit. What do you think of that one, Paddy?
Well, like we'd all love to have Lewandowski or Erling Haaland or somebody up there, but we don't. So it's up to the manager to pick who he thinks is the best of what we have. He thinks it's Ollie Watkins. I saw another comment slagging me there saying, do I honestly think Ings can lead the line? I don't know what the relevance is there, because I just think Ings will score goals. That's why I want him in the team.
I think it's more so the fact that you were saying that he hasn't had a run in the team this year and we need to see what he's like. And I think, you know, I can get behind that. I can get behind that. But at the end of the day, I'm at the stage where I couldn't care less who's managing the club before winning. Couldn't care less who's playing up front before scoring. Couldn't care less who's playing in midfield as long as we're creating chances. Couldn't care less who's playing at the back as long as we're keeping clean sheets. We're kind of at that stage at the moment. And that's just bleeding into some of my soliloquy of tears that I will have after the game if we go on to not win this game today, or to lose this game more so, should I say, today. Which we're not going to, because we're going to win, and we're going to win 2-0. That's my prediction as well. So what do you think of this, Paddy? Daryl says, Gerrard should have played two holding midfielders in the Donker and Louise, and that allows McGinn in a more forward attacking position. So that would have meant us moving to 4-2-3-1. Now, I'm a fan of the 4-2-3-1 formation, but what do you think of that, Paddy?
Yeah, I'm a fan of that too. It depends on what way he puts them out. I don't think today was the day for 4-2-3-1. I think we're a lot better than Notts Forest are currently. So I think he's decided to go with the formation that we have, which will effectively see 1-6 with the two guys moving a good bit forward. I think that's our best formation, is the 4-2-3-1 with what we have currently available to us. But today is not the day. I could see a 4-2-3-1 definitely on Sunday, but not today.
Ronan asks here as well, are we depending on Young now to give width on the left side? I wouldn't be surprised to see our fullbacks Here's famous last words, guys. I wouldn't be surprised to see our fullbacks not as far forward as they have been. Matty Cash is coming back from injury. Ashley Young, obviously, look, he's 37 years of age. It's been well spoken about in this podcast. I think also it's been the key to our clean sheets over the last couple of games as well, is the fact that we haven't been bombing forward with our fullbacks. Yes, they're going to get past the halfway line. They're going to get crosses in from deep, almost like Ahmed El Mahmoudi style. That's what I would expect Cash to get further forward than Ashley Young. But I'm not even too worried about creating massive amounts of width, because we are shit at crossing the ball regardless of who does it anyway. And I think what I'm looking forward to is seeing us attack through the middle, because as I said, they've got two good fullbacks, two very good fullbacks. Like they're Premier League standard fullbacks, but their two centre halves are very robust individuals. Scott McKenna is a good player. Villa were linked with him under Steve Bruce as well, in and around the same time as we brought John McGinn into the club. So McKenna is good, but Steve Cook, I think, is an obvious weak link there. He's very good in the air, so why pump the ball in from crosses into him? Get the ball down the side of these two guys. That's where Ollie Watkins likes to be. Yes, he's going to miss an odd one-on-one. We've just come to know that. But I think the more chances that we get our players down the sides of these players, then the better we will have it. So I'm not too concerned tonight about getting the ball as wide. But look, as I say, as we always say, Paddy, we'll know what the situation is after 15 minutes of the game for Steven Gerrard run team.
And I alluded to a while ago, I do anticipate the two boys being a bit narrower, Buendia and Coutinho. I agreed with you there. I don't think Young will go as far forward, but I do envisage Matty Cash bombing on as we used to seeing him. So that's how I see it. I think if the crosses are coming in, it would be coming on Matty Cash's side. Maybe Coutinho going a little bit further wide than Buendia will. But as you say, we'll find out in about 45 minutes.
Noel, my own worker, Noel, is vice chairman of the Connacht Lions. Just get the pennant in there. Connacht official Lions Club. And he's on a junket over to New York, on a fundraising junket for St. Ernest and all, for all the expats over there. He's over in New York at the moment, and he's been trying to find a place to watch the game. So delighted that he found it. It's no Tafts, though, I'm sure, Noel. It's no Tafts.
I'm sure you'll have a ball there with the New York Lions in the football factory. It's a great place to watch a game of a Villa game. So if you're in New York, that's where to go, is the football factory, and meet with like-minded individuals, we'll call them.
Absolutely. Exactly. So we're going to wrap it up on that, guys. A bit of a shorter one today. Thank you so much. God, we had nearly 400 people watching there at one stage. If you like this, please give it a thumbs up. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, really appreciate you just clicking the subscribe button. Costs you nothing to do it. And you never know, you might like one of our podcasts again in the future. If you click on that subscribe button, you click on the bell, you'll be notified when we go live. We'd really appreciate it. We're on the roll towards 4,000 subscribers on YouTube. Just nothing other than the Vanity Project. Really, but it'd be nice if you could just help us along the way, two old fellas like that. Also on Twitter, getting dangerously close to 5,000 followers on Twitter as well. That would be nice to close out 2022 with that. If you know of anyone you think might like the podcast, please tell them to give us a watch. Before we go, we're going to do a quick rundown. Paddy, if you need to run away there, you can, because I know you had to go by quarter past seven. If before we go, if you guys wanted to pop in what you think the score is going to be here, we'll do the quick rundown on the scores as well there before we go. So if you want to head off, Paddy, or do you need to go?
I do, yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, excellent. We'll see you. What do you think the score is going to be, Paddy?
4-0 Villa.
4-0 Villa. Paddy's back. Paddy's back. That's what I like to see.
See you after the game.
Mind yourself. Good luck. All right, lads. So, yeah, as I say, I'm enthused by some of the names in the team sheet. I'm with Paddy as well. I'm just, like, I don't think this is going to win any intellectual prizes at all for saying that the system is a bit in question here. And it's essentially, we're still playing the same system, except we're not playing it with massive width in the, like we would have with Bailey. But the more I've seen of Leon Bailey, the more I think that the system doesn't suit him either. So maybe getting Bundy in there is what we need. I think Aston Villa have a lot going for them in this game today. I think Aston Villa should be dogged in this game. They should go for it. They should try their best to attack from the off. Yes, Nottingham Forest are going to be at home. Yes, they've got a new contract for their team manager. Yes, they've just coming off a hiding to Leicester, and you can see that in the team, that they've changed up the team there as well. But Aston Villa shouldn't let any of that come into the equation. We have enough players here to take this game by the scruff of the neck, and I'm going for an Aston Villa 2-0 win. So with that, we're going to go start off the roundup. Whoa, you guys were fast at that one as well. So NACL official Nick Salter says 3-0 to Aston Villa. Murdoch says 3-1 to Aston Villa. Masterpiece says 2-0 Villa. Captain K says 3-2 Villa. Tom Ryan says 2-0. I presume the Villa. Pete Tandy says 2-0 Villa. Yeah, Masterpiece was 2-0 Villa. Rod Humble says 2-0 Villa. Daniel Hobson says 2-0 Villa. Aurelio Gomez says 3-0 Villa said with a little conviction. 3-0 Villa says the MacBees. Good to see you, John. Matt Parker says 3-2 to Villa. That would be entertaining, but I would like it to be a lot more processional than 3-2. Michael Byrne says 2-0 to Aston Villa. Gary Edmonds says 2-0 Villa. Daryl Bog, Scott McKenna has been brilliant for Scotland. He actually has been really good for Scotland. I think there's a very much a player in there. As I say, I think it's Steve Cook, the guy that you need to get down the side of for this team. Rex Cole says 1-0 scrappy win, but I'll take it. I absolutely would take it all day long. Paul Miller says 4-1 to Villa. You, I like it. 9-0 Villa, says Jordi Villain, and it was only 1-0 at halftime. Ed says 2-0 to Villa. 5-1 to Villa, says John Steele. John's back. John Steele is back. 5-1 to Aston Villa. 5-all, says Kevin Arthur, and nod to the game in the championship. And O'Grady, 2-0 to Aston Villa. Well, I know that's 2-0 to Aston Villa, because I don't think Anne has ever predicted Villa to lose a game in her life before, which is, she's very much like me. Rachel Insel Lewis says, I'd love a 3-0 Villa, but not sure. Audrey Lynch says 2-1, scraping a win. By the way, guys, I completely forgot to give away that hold all. We will do it in the post match as well. If you want to scroll back through my Twitter feed, you'll be able to find a competition for an Aston Villa hold all. All you got to do is like and retweet the tweet, and you're in with a chance to win the hold all. I don't know why, Audrey, you made me think of that hold all, but you did. Anyway, getting back to it here. 4-0 to Watkins hat-trick and Coutinho worldly, says Rob Henry. Pete Tandy says won't be pretty, but we get 3 points. Pat says 4-1 to Villa. Murdoch says we don't want to five all again. Habs Rackman says 3-1 to Villa. Shane Coleman says 3-0 to Villa. John Gleeson says 3-2 to Villa. Daryl says 3-1 to Villa. Neil Arch says 1-0 to Villa. We'd have gone with Archer. 2-0 to Villa says YBFC. 3-1-1. 5-0 says Peter Maypotter. 2-0 away win says Hippo. 2-0 Villa boys. 4-1 says that was for Michael Richards. Damien McDonald says 4-1 to Aston Villa. Dougie 6107 says 3-1 to Aston Villa. Adrian McKeever says 2-2. B says 3-1 to Aston Villa. Love Bleed says 3-1 to Aston Villa. Cat Cannon says 3-2 to Villa. Scores Ollie, Emmy, and Chambers. 3-0 to Villa. Where are we? 3-0 to Villa again, says Davidson. 4-2 says JXSHE. Rastlin Hickey says 2-1 to Villa. Apologies if I pronounced that one wrong. Phil says 4-1 to Villa. Zaji says 3-0 to Villa. Jack Grimesy, Bundy, are we right? It's in there. 3-1 to Villa. Bundy Mings, Forest 1-3, Villa, Forest 1, Villa 3, but. How do the guys in the classifieds do this? I don't know. John Bambury says 2-2. Dorcas says 3-3. DJ Roser says 5-5. Junior Bennett says 3-0. And Simon Kenny says it's nil all. We can't finish on a nil all board draw. Music Junkie is in. Whew. Music Junkie says 3-0 to Villa. And that brings it to a close tonight, guys. Team Sheet Tantrum has been very good fun. Thank you so much to everybody for joining. Really appreciate it. We will be back with a post game. It will be a shorter post game. It will be just about 10 o'clock, maybe about 5 to 10, depending on what time the game finishes. But we will love to see you back here again for that. And in the meantime, stay safe, stay healthy, get a beverage of your choice, plonk yourself in front of the TV if you're not at the game, that is. And let's hope we are talking about an Aston Villa win after this game. Thanks so much to everybody. Thumbs up. Subscribe if you aren't a subscriber. Really appreciate you. Up the Villa. Up the Villa. Up the Villa.
Sports Social Podcast Network.